This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Comedian Hari Kondabolu is known for his intelligent humor that blends observations about everyday stuff and politics. His parents came from India. He grew up in Queens, so there's plenty of grist in his personal life to work ethnic jokes into his material, but he says he's careful not to cross the line into caricature. Hari has a new album out. It's called Mainstream American Comic, and he's working on a documentary that uses The Simpsons character Apu as a springboard to confront South Asian stereotypes. Hari performs Saturday, February 18th at 8 o'clock at Asheville's Diana Wortham Theater. Hari Kondabolu is on our show again. Welcome back, Hari.
Hey, nice to talk to you. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. We talked about comedy and sort of politics that works its way into your routines, but you are reluctant to call yourself a political comic. Why?
I mean, because it marginalizes what it means to talk about those issues, like, you know, topics regarding justice or the world, things that affect all of us. Like, I don't see that as political. And also, like, that's what I see first. Like, when I see a situation, I think about, you know, what are the race dynamics? What are the class dynamics? You know, what's happening with the gender dynamics? Like, you know, who has power in the situation? That's my first instinct. It's not like I'm putting a political lens on and all of a sudden I see different things. That's the first thing I think about. So to me, it's not something that is a marginalized thing. To me, it's, you know, it's my first impulse. It's observational.
Well, let's see how that plays out in your new album, Mainstream American Comic, that has many of those observations. Here's a clip.
This year has been terrible already. I mean, so many people have been killed by the police the last couple of years, right? And like, cops have killed so many black people. It's caught on tape, and yet nothing happens, right? There is no change. And the one great thing that's come out of all this is the Black Lives Matter movement, right? Incredible movement. Incredible. Supports communities, pushes for justice, right? But the one unfortunate thing is that when people say Black Lives Matter, there are always people that say, no, all lives matter. First of all, no, they don't. We all have people we dislike. What are you talking about? Like, we all have a couple of names in the back of our head. If only. Like, come on. So you watch reality television, all lives matter, really? Really? All three Kardashians, really? All three of them? Okay, all right. All lives matter. Do you guys know how ridiculous you sound? That's like if it's your birthday and everybody's wishing you a happy birthday, then all of a sudden one person's like, you know, I also have a birthday. Shut the f*** up, Melissa. It's not about your birthday, Melissa. It's always your birthday, Melissa.
Hari Kondabolu. Material from his new album, Mainstream American Comic. He's going to be performing on the 18th, Saturday, at Asheville's Diana Wortham Theater, talking with us on the state of things. So, you know, there's a fair amount of politics and pop culture, I guess, all woven into that piece.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't really see it as politics. I see that, you know, it's like, you know, then what doesn't count as politics? If you're only talking, let's say, about pop culture, you're ignoring a lot of other things. What you don't say has political meaning as well. So to me, it's like, I don't see that as political. Like, if you ask a person of color who is being targeted by the police and they're telling you their fear, to them it's not political, right? That's a day-to-day fear and observation. So yeah, I don't see these things as political. And I think by calling these things political or ethnic or anything that is less than mainstream or part of the American or human experience, we lose it. We actually like alienate ourselves from really great work.
But it would seem
I'm calling myself I'm saying I have really great work. That's ultimately what
it's great work, and people laugh, and they can take it any way they want. And I guess the label doesn't really help. But the fact is, I mean, you've got a bachelor in comparative politics, right, and a master's in human rights from the London School of Economics. So, I mean, these are, you know, the ways in which public works is kind of has been, at least in your past, a pretty interesting, very interesting to you, would you say?
Like
public policy and human rights. I mean, if you've got a master's in human rights and a bachelor in comparative politics,
certainly.
You've been thinking about these things. How does that inform you? I mean, when did you decide that you wanted to be a comedian?
I mean, I decided I wanted to be a comedian before I, you know, was aware socially in any way. Like, I was probably like 16 and I saw Margaret Cho on television. It was the first person I'd seen who wasn't black, white, or Latino doing stand-up, and it was groundbreaking. It's still groundbreaking. And, you know, I just thought about how amazing it is that all this person has is their voice and their experiences and a microphone, and that's all they needed to keep people's attention. and they were speaking honestly. Like, I'd never heard anyone talk about, like, immigrant parents and their experiences. And her experience was, as somebody from San Francisco, a big city, and the complexities of that, like, I was mesmerized by that. So, yeah, from early on, I knew that's an art form that I wanted to be a part of.
How do you navigate that? That sense that, you know, seeing somebody who looked like you or at least had an immigrant experience that didn't particularly look like you was eye-opening for you. How do you navigate the kind of responsibility of that with the worry that you can easily fall into caricature?
Sure. I mean, the key to me is being honest about your experiences and point of view, right? So, you know, I don't do accents well. So if I wanted to do accents of my parents, they wouldn't be authentic. They wouldn't be honest to begin with. And plus, you know, it becomes very easy to go into caricature. And, you know, I'm always conscious of, why are people laughing? Are they laughing at me or at my parents? Or are they laughing with me because they get the joke? Do they actually understand what I'm saying? And I think that takes clever writing, and that takes a certain degree of integrity, which that's what my heroes did. And so I kind of want to fall into that line, you know. Like, to me, there's a difference between talking about your experiences, let's say as a South Asian American, your parents' experiences, versus what is going to make Americans laugh who don't have this experience on the lowest level. Accents work. You know, I grew up with the only character on television I saw being Apu from The Simpsons, who was, you know, voiced by a white guy. Like, clearly caricatures and accents work. But that's, you know, to me, it's not really that rewarding.
Well, let's talk about that, Apu, and kind of where you're headed with this documentary. Because one might assume that the producers of The Simpsons mean no harm and in some ways are trying to hold a mirror up to all of us and show us how our own stereotyping and discrimination works against other people in creating that character. I may be going too far, but it feels like that would be safe to say about the producers of The Simpsons. How does it appear to you?
I'm making a film about Apu from The Simpsons. I don't think it's safe to say that, because honestly, that was a time where, you know, there weren't that many South Asians in America. So, you know, that comes with the assumption that you know South Asians, and, you know, I don't think they meant harm. I certainly don't think they meant harm, but I don't think they thought about the fact or cared about the fact that, like, this is the only representation of this marginalized group. It's different if you have your own representation and you get to choose how you depict yourself, or if there was a broad range of South Asian characters. This is one of many. When you only have one, then it's like that's all you become, and that, you know, impacts how you view yourself. It impacts how you view your parents. I certainly was embarrassed about their accents, which is unfortunate. It makes, you know, when I think a lot about, like, post 9/11, I think a lot about, you know, all the hate crimes that happened. I mean, for one's humanity to be taken away in those situations, you have to have a limited number of images, right? If you didn't grow up with South Asians, you have to – what are your images? Caricature of a convenience store owner, terrorist, cab driver. There's only a few things at that point that exist. I think that limitation is dangerous, and it's, you know, it's not particularly fun, especially when you're a kid. At the end of the day, though, I'm a giant Simpsons fan. That's one of the reasons I wanted to do comedy. So I think for me, you know, the film I'm making is about being in love with something and still criticizing it. I think that's what I like. That's how I am as a Simpsons fan, and that's what I am as an American. Like, you can love something and still criticize it because you love it so much and you don't want it hurting you.
The other thing it seems to me you do with your humor is normalize your experience so that while you're not doing accents and caricatures, you can also normalize life for you in ways that all of us would recognize family life without the filter of being Indian American. I want to play another clip from your work, A Conversation with Your Mom. Let's hear a little clip of that.
My parents are getting older, right? When you have older parents, you have to have difficult conversations with them. What they want for their final wishes, right? Cremation, funeral. These are difficult conversations that I've been having recently. And because I am who I am, I decided it was time to tell my parents what I wanted for my final wishes, right? So I told them, I said, if I'm ever murdered, it's very important that the killer doesn't get the death penalty, because I don't believe in state violence. So don't push for the death penalty. I don't want my death to lead to another death, regardless of what this person did to me or to my body. I don't want the killer to get the death penalty. And I remember what my mother said to me. She said, why do you always have to ruin dinner? It's not about dinner, Mom. It's about my final wishes. They should be respected. You're not that famous, Hari. Nobody's gonna kill you, okay? You don't know that. Dad tells people I'm Aziz Ansari. You don't even know.
Hari Kondabolu.
I could be killed by accident.
Hari Kondabolu, his newest comedy album, Mainstream American Comic, and he's going to be at Asheville's Diana Wortham Theater February 18th. We've got that information at our website. So there you are. I mean, that's an experience that any of us could have had, and I think that's a way in which...
Right.
Yeah.
It's funny because it's angsty. It's like basically speaking about an angsty teenager more than anything else, right? Like that's my particular topic that I was focusing on. But I think a lot of us have the experience of having a fight with your parents at the dinner table and wanting to make a point and stand up and being frustrated that they're not listening. It's just my topic happens to be, you know, the death penalty, but it's it's still like a universal thing, yeah.
Well, I wonder if that's happening too, this kind of mainstreaming in which you know, may be apparently South Asian on the stage, but you're talking about an experience that any American might have had. Goes even farther than in terms of humor in normalizing the experience, which is maybe where we all want to get.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the South Asian American experience is the American experience, right? Like, you know, to me, this isn't so revolutionary, at least in my head. So I'm telling the story of the child of immigrants who came to this country for a better life. That's kind of an American story. That's like a classic American story. The only difference is like, you know, my parents come from India and not Ireland or Germany, right? But it's the classic American story. So, you know, I think it's funny that we forget that this, you know, I hate the fact that I have to normalize it because it's normal. That's what this country is.
Well, it was. It used to be.
Well, it was, right? I mean, it's funny. I think we forget that. And that's another reason I called the album, the second album, Mainstream American Comic, because to me, these are mainstream stories, like me talking about the world and the things I care about and like, you know, criticizing the government. That's American, right? Me making jokes about my family and my experiences in this country, you know, being a naturally born citizen of this country. That's American, you know, talking about the bands I like and doing an art form that to me is very American. I mean, the British might disagree, but to me, this is an American art form. We created this. This goes along with like jazz and baseball, right? Like this is an American art form. So,
which
me,
one?
Do you mean
comedy or stand-up
comedy?
Stand-up comedy.
Well, yeah, as a form.
What about the impact of satire? I want to talk to you more about that, but I want to remind everybody that right at this very moment, I'm speaking with Hari Kondabolu on the state of things, and he's going to be at the you're going to be in Asheville at the Diana Wortham Theater on the 18th of February. So I want to point that out as well. Let me play a clip for you because I want to talk about your take on what satire is doing these days and the impact it has. And normalization, because here's Melissa McCarthy, Saturday Night Live, doing the send-up of Sean Spicer last week. I just want to play that and then talk with you about it.
We'll do a couple questions. Go. Glenn Thrush, New York Times. Boo! Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about the travel ban on Muslims.
Yeah, it's not a ban.
I'm sorry?
It's not a ban. The travel ban is not a ban, which makes it not a ban.
But you just called it a ban.
Because I'm using your words. You said ban. You said ban. Now I'm saying it.
The president tweeted, and I quote, if the ban were announced with a one-week notice.
Yeah, exactly. You just said that. He's quoting you. It's your words. He's using your words. When you use the words and he uses them back, it's circular using of the word, and that's from you.
Melissa McCarthy is White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer. I'm talking with Hari Kondabolu. His newest album is called Mainstream American Comic. Just the impact of satire these days in the age of Trump, if you think that it, I mean, I know that you don't want to call yourself political comic, but does it have an effect?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the fact that it's Saturday Night Live and that's a giant audience and it's also a lot of young people, like that to me is great. Like, you know, I think in another era, it just might be talking about the quirks of that person. Yeah. But they brought up the, you know, the Muslim ban. They made it political very quickly. Like, this is the topic of the day. This isn't just a, you know, about a ridiculous figure. This is about how this ridiculous figure lies and, you know, that hurts democracy. I mean, that to me is incredibly important, especially when they have such a big platform.
And you've got Melissa McCarthy. So finally, you have a woman playing a man's role. Men playing women's, mm-hmm. you know, roles have been – goes back to Benny Hill, for goodness sake. But here you've got
right.
– and I want to play the first part because the audience roars. I mean, the first – when she opens her mouth, she nailed it. So the point was that no matter who she was, no matter what gender she was, she got the Sean Spicer posture and the face, and everybody got that. But subversively, you're saying, yeah, there's a lot of ambiguity about gender. And fact is, anybody can play anybody's role and really nail it. And it seems to me that that was a subversive message as well.
I think it's all in there. And, you know, I sometimes wonder, like, about the impact of art in this way. You know what I mean? I don't know if the impact is really on people at a certain age when you're in your, like, 30s and 40s. You're set even in your 20s. But when you're a teenager watching that, that's when I think that's the impact. That, you know, like people say that all this, you know, all this stuff in Hollywood, liberal Hollywood and all these points of view and they're pushing diversity down our throats. I mean, the people who are saying that, they're done. Like, it's over. Like, they've they've already made up their mind. But if you're like 14, 15 years old, like, you know, kids are – they're critical. They question everything, sometimes to be annoying, but often because they actually – they call you on your nonsense. And I think that's why, like, when I remember being 14 or 15 and admiring comedy because of its honesty and because they said things that other adults wouldn't say, and that comedians traveled the world. And even though I grew up in Queens, New York, most diverse place in the world, in New York City, I was sheltered and comedians weren't. And so when I hear that, I don't know how much impact sometimes it makes with adults, but for the next generation of voters, they're going to think about that. They're going to think about the fact that this is not normal. This is very strange. They have a comparison point with the previous administration. Like,
Hari,
to me, that's when it becomes revolutionary.
I'm going to have to thank you deeply and move on. But thank you so much, Hari Kondabolu. Thank you for talking with us.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
His newest comedy album, Mainstream American Comic, going to perform Saturday, February 18th at Asheville's Diana Wortham Theater. Information at our website, stateofthings.org. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.